If you missed the show,
check out Montreal's number one morning show on the go.
The Nikki, Sam, and Andy replay podcast.
All right, your favorite male body part says something about your personality. Good morning. It's Nikki, Sam, and Andy. Okay, so apparently, whether you're a woman or a man, your favorite body part on a male says something about your personality. Okay. So I'm going to go through these. You can follow along if you want to text us. You can at 92925. And I think one of you, maybe Sam, was good at this yesterday. I want you to try and correlate why it is.
Okay.
So why you believe that that personality type matches that body part.
Right.
So let's start with Kim Kieran. Kim, what's your favorite body part on a male?
I like the arms. A good baseball arm.
The arms.
Baseball
okay.
arm.
If male arms are your favorite part of their body, you like a man to take care of you. You also value physical fitness for yourself. Is that true?
Yeah, just don't judge.
Okay.
Don't judge him.
Don't judge him, but don't get it.
Why do you think that is, Sam?
Maybe because you like to be sort of handled in the bedroom, like you like to be picked up, and it's a sign of sort of strength that a guy can get
Kim.
Stuff done around the house.
Kim, that's Sam asking you if you like to be handled. You don't have to answer it. Don't answer it.
I don't have an answer for that.
All right. If your favorite body part on a male is his back or his butt, they say that you're direct and not the least bit shy. You take a more masculine approach to hooking up and that you focus on the visual appeal of the body and on receiving pleasure. Andy, why do you think that personality type correlates with his back and his butt?
I don't know. The butt is something very nice to look at,
that's
I guess,
right.
if we're into the visual aspects of
okay.
what happens in the bedroom, I suppose.
Okay.
You kind of threw me for a loop. I didn't know you were going to come to me. I thought it was all Sam here.
Sam?
Everybody likes a cute little butt. I mean, they're
fun to look at. Everybody likes a cute little butt. They're fun to look at.
It's nicely true. In the jeans, yeah.
Very symmetrical.
And I guess if you're going there, if you're a tushy type of person, you're direct and not the least bit shy is what they say. That would make sense to me if you're the type to like touch your partner's butt.
That's right.
Okay, his legs. If you like a man's legs, if that's your favorite part of his body, it means you're comfortable with your own body and perhaps a little self-centered. You're also very confident in the bedroom. Why would that be?
Oh, the legs. That's a good question. It's funny. The legs were kind of the saving grace in my relationship because I was like a little bit heavier at the time. But when Josie saw my legs and that they were like in shape and they were a bit sculpted, she said, okay, this guy's got potential. At least all not hope
his
is lost.
His legs aren't sculpted. That's not It's not a thing. I've seen his legs before.
Kind of relationship.
Nice legs, there's hope.
Okay. So legs have saved his relationship. All right. I just have a feeling if we asked Josie that, she'd disagree. And lastly, this is actually my favorite.
Okay.
His chest or his stomach. If you like his chest or his stomach, it means you're self-assured and successful in personal endeavors. But when it comes to the bedroom, you like your man to take control.
Well, it makes sense. I mean, having like a pronounced chest, I guess, embodies dominance and physical prowess, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. And it actually matches. Self-assured, successful in personal endeavors in the bedroom. I do like a man with confidence. That's
just
accurate.
Have to work on the washboard abs. That's the only thing that's lacking. But, I mean, who doesn't like abs?
It's the only thing that's lacking on your body?
Yes.
Oh.
Well, you've got those great legs.
He's got great
legs.
Exactly. Everything else is perfect. Yeah. The only thing lacking on Sam's body is his abs.
Did he call his legs sculpted?
He
said sculpted, mildly sculpted.
And he said he has. Andy, you actually do have a really big chest. We learned about this when we were
pole dancing.
That you could like pick himself up, turn himself around.
It's a secret to pole dancing. It's actually all in the chest. A lot of people don't know that.
And is your wife, do you think that's her favorite body part in a male?
You know what? I don't know what. I think she likes my butt. She has commented on my butt before.
Okay.
She likes it. So maybe that's it.
Okay. And we learned what that means, right? Her butt. She.
That you are directed.
Direct and not the least bit shy.
Yeah.
Okay.
She's never commented about my legs either.
And she takes a more masculine approach in the bedroom. Don't answer that. We don't need to hear that.
Everything you missed from Montreal's favorite morning show.
The Nikki, Sam, and Andy Replay Podcast.
All right. Wait until you hear what this popular YouTuber said. And you can share your opinion with us at 92925. I wanted to reach out to a professional and get their opinion as well. Good morning. 7:04 right now. A chilly one. It is minus 20 with the wind chill. I just like shivered thinking about it. Yeah, because it was chilly. On the walk-in. Good morning. It's Nikki, Sam, and Andy. So you may have heard of the YouTuber Jake Paul. He's really popular, and maybe you've never heard of him, and that's fine, too. He does have over 20 million subscribers on YouTube.
Wow.
So he tweeted something that really provoked an extremely strong reaction online. He tweeted, "Remember, anxiety is created by you." That was the tweet that he sent out. So cue Twitter going in on him. There was an immediate response. thousands of people, a lot of them sharing their experiences of mental health struggles that have been dismissed. A lot of them were just sort of like snapback, clapback tweets saying, oh, one of my worst ever panic, telling people with anxiety to just stop having anxiety does not help them. Basically, yeah. People tweeting saying, oh, thank you, you just cured my anxiety by tweeting that. But everybody had a really, really strong reaction about what he tweeted.
It's a big blanket statement. And I mean, I kind of understand what he's saying. I don't agree with him, but it seems that more and more now people are struggling with anxiety and they're vocal about it. They'll attribute a lot of things to anxiety. And you don't know, as someone who doesn't know this person that well, whether or not the anxiety, they were born with it, whether it was self-inflicted, whether they're at the mercy
of
certain things. Well, that's the thing. So how do we analyze or how do we know and decipher, you know, how many types of anxiety, how severe the anxiety is?
But I don't think
it's
your business about somebody else's anxiety. You only have to worry about your own. It's not your business to judge what or why or how somebody else has anxiety.
Well, it affects sort of how empathetic or how you show empathy towards this person. I mean, I don't know necessarily how, if two people were to tell me that they both have anxiety, I mean, I would have a million questions. I mean,
should probably empathize with both, I would say.
Yeah.
Andy, what do you think?
I mean, this guy, he like you said, he has deleted the tweet now. He hasn't stepped back from the tweet. He's actually defending it, saying, you know what, whether you agree with it or not, mm-hmm. I'm raising awareness mm-hmm. towards the issue of anxiety, mm-hmm. which I guess in a way he is because we're talking about it, but is it the right kind of awareness? I'm not so mm-hmm. sure. He said that, you know, listen, I deal with anxiety myself and this is how I deal with it. He's got a lot of followers online lot of them are young mm-hmm. and they're impressionable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if we want to be going to Jake Paul as the source for anxiety and how to deal with it. He should probably have just said, listen, anxiety is normal. It's nothing to be ashamed about. And if you have it, reach out to somebody.
Yeah. Look, I've struggled with anxiety. I have spoken about it in the past. Sometimes there are times when I don't love speaking about it because of uneducated people and people who see it as some sort of weakness. You know, you hear everything. I've heard people say, there's no way you could do your job if you had anxiety. I'm like, okay, literally like Oprah Winfrey, the most famous person in the world mm-hmm. has spoken out about her struggles with anxiety. So mm-hmm. pretty sure I could. People say that you appear way too confident or people make fun of it in the past. People have made fun of it in the past too when I've been really open about it. And just, you know, comments from people that make you want to sort of keep it close to your heart, you know, so they can't view it as some sort of weakness. But I feel like I sort of have a responsibility in what I do to speak my truth. And I've done that from the time that I started here. And I know that people making those comments have no idea what they're talking about. They're really just not educated. And it's taken me a really long time, to learn how to cope with my own anxiety. And then eventually I have seen it release its grip on me a little bit. And I constantly work mm-hmm. on that with mm-hmm. exercise, with diet, with meditation, with therapy. But the idea of someone who is in the depth of just crippling and debilitating anxiety, hearing you created it is like the last thing they should hear. And mm-hmm. he's really doing the opposite of helping. He probably created more anxiety for people, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, I don't think he meant to, but in a way he's kind of placing blame, mm-hmm. right? He's placing blame on the individual. And I'm sure I'm sure that wasn't his message. Maybe it was, and that'd be terrible, but I'm sure that wasn't his message, but it just got lost in what he was trying to say.
I reached out to my friend Lisa Brookman. She's a psychotherapist and the co-owner of the West Island Therapy and Wellness Center. Now, Lisa, there's a YouTuber, like I mentioned, named Jake Paul, and he tweeted out this tweet that said, anxiety is created by you. And I wanted to get a professional's take on this. At a time when anxiety seems like such an epidemic, what do you think about what he said as somebody with a huge platform?
I absolutely was mortified by that comment. I had a chance to see the tweet and mm-hmm. did a bit of research on my own. And that type of stigmatization is awful, especially from someone who's in the public eye who has a responsibility to educate and to sensitize their followers.
Do you see where he might have been coming from at all?
I definitely don't think that anxiety or any kind of mental illness is a choice. And by throwing that kind of comment out, it makes people feel like it's their issue and it's their problem and they just have to deal with it.
Is there anyone that isn't dealing with some sort of anxiety nowadays? I mean, it seems that if you're just trying to make your way in this world as a normal person, that you're going to be plagued with some sort of anxiety. I mean, is it common for people to just have no anxiety whatsoever?
About 20% of Canadians are struggling with anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, all of those people are affected, their mothers, their sisters, their colleagues. So I think we're all really dealing in society as mm-hmm. a whole with whether we're dealing with it personally or we have someone in our life that is dealing with it. And it it becomes overwhelming.
Lisa, why do you think that anxiety is such an issue? I visited a school a few weeks ago, was talking to one of the teachers. She says she hardly goes a day without one of her students having a panic attack.
And you know, we see it in our teenagers. We see it in our clinic with adults. I mean, it's very prevalent. I think today's world is difficult. I think that not everyone has coping tools and techniques to know how to navigate a stressful lifestyle. So, you know, the most important thing with anxiety or with any kind of mental health issue is, first of all, to recognize that you have something going on and to seek support.
Lisa, do you see a big connection with anxiety and social media?
Absolutely. And it's interesting because a lot of people think that the social media issues only affect and cause anxiety and stress and depression for younger people, like teenagers and
young adults. No, that's not true.
I'm seeing it with, you know, 40 and 50 and 60-year-old men
really?
And women.
Yeah.
Absolutely, who are very affected by what's going on social media, the fear of missing out, FOMO, competition with regards to aging and aging gracefully. Before social media, you know, we can have issues in the workplace and we can have issues in our school. And then we come home and we're in a safe and nurturing environment.
Yeah.
And we could leave all those stresses outside.
Mm-hmm.
But now it follows us around 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
If you feel like social media is having a negative impact on your life, is it as simple as just giving it up or trying to curb your time? Or is it, like you said, a way to sort of learn to deal with it as part of your life a little bit better than how you're currently dealing with it?
It's the way we choose to use it.
Uh-huh.
I'm very, for instance, selective with who I follow on social media.
Yeah.
If something is toxic or it makes me not feel good about myself, I will unfollow something. I don't continue to kind of see it in my newsfeed.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing with people. But I think we almost get, like, there's almost a voyeuristic perspective that we can't turn our eyes away. And even when things are making us feel uncomfortable or anxious, there's like almost a lack of self-compassion. We feel bad unfollowing people, or we feel bad not commenting.
Some really great tips there, Lisa. Thank you so much for sort of shedding
My
a
pleasure.
Little bit of light on this moronic YouTuber.
Absolutely. He's not who we should be following. Absolutely not.
Unfollowed.
All right. That is Lisa Brookman, psychotherapist and co-owner of the West Island Therapy and Wellness Center. We love having you and have a wonderful day.
Thanks. Thank you, guys. Bye-bye.
Bye. I was actually talking to Lisa earlier this week, and she also mentioned she just mentioned right now on the call that 20% of people struggle with anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
She said, like, keep in mind, that's only 20% of people that identify it,
right,
are able to sort of articulate the way that they're feeling or have been diagnosed with it. So it's probably a lot more people.
That's a good point.
That. Anyway, great having her on, as always.
Montreal's most listened to morning show on the go.
The Nikki, Sam, and Andy Replay Podcast.
So first thing, Sam wasn't here yet, but our producer Rob and Andy, when I came in this morning, I said, okay, I want to do a test with you guys really quick.
Yep.
So I asked you to sit down quietly, and you have to trust the person you're doing this with, because if they lie, then they'll ruin it all, okay? Basically, what you have to do is set a timer and tell the person that you want them to tell you when the timer hits 60 seconds. So
right.
When 1 minute or 60 seconds has passed.
Mm-hmm.
You're not allowed to count, because that ruins it. If you're counting, of course, you're going to get it right on. So Andy, how did you and Rob both do on this one?
Not very well.
No.
We both overshot the minute mark by a large margin.
Really?
Yeah, we were at about a minute 50.
Almost 2 minutes.
Yes.
Almost 2 minutes.
And you know your time. Like, you're very rarely late. Like, you seem to be conscientious of time. I'm surprised that you were just, that a minute can
seem
like...
Well, when you can look at a clock, of course, you're very conscientious of time. But the point is the way time, like, feels to you. How it feels when you're moving through it.
Mm-hmm.
And I did it last night by myself. I did it 3 times in a row because I couldn't believe. I was like, there's something wrong with my timer. I didn't make it 20 seconds. It was right around the 20-second mark all 3 times
Which
that I did it.
Which is very fast.
It's like you're living in slow motion
it's
almost.
Extremely fast. No, I'm living in fast motion, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So they're saying it's fun because you can do this as a fun little competitive thing in your family or with your coworkers or whatever. But the idea is it's actually supposed to help a bit with mindfulness.
Mm-hmm.
And it encourages you to sort of start to reflect on the results of this test and your current list of goals. So do you always feel like you're frantically rushing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe I'm the type of person who has an hour to get something done, and it doesn't ever feel like enough for me because 20 seconds goes by and that feels like the hour is up, right?
Yeah, so.
And maybe Andy's the opposite.
So you need to slow down.
Slow down, and you need to speed up.
Right.
The times.
Anyway, give it a try if you want. Grab a stopwatch. It is the 1 minute test, and you can always let us know how it goes too. Text us 92925.
The Nikki, Sam, and Andy Replay Podcast.
Online at thebeat925.ca.
Or subscribe on iTunes and Google Play.
And live weekday mornings starting at 5:30.
Montreal's perfect mix. The Beat 925.